Blog Talk Radio.
Finding a job tomorrow morning. Got a little something I wanna do. Gonna buy something I can ride in. I take my girl, get her something that she's driving. Tomorrow's gonna be written down in history. A cousin like Romeo and Juliet. Gonna buy the pretty presents, just like the ones in a catalog. Gonna show how much I love her. I'll let her know one way or the other. Our love's gonna be written down in history, just like Romeo and Juliet.
From the Love Channel, and I'm sorry to those that listen to the show at 12 at midnight, because I, for some reason, I don't know, I just lost time. I wasn't in time. I was just in timelessness and really lost sight of the fact that I was to do a show tonight or this morning, and then I tried to do it for 2 a.m. That didn't work, and then 2:30, it seems to be happening, so I'm glad that I finally did have the opportunity to connect with those that are interested to connect with me. And I'm not sure, as I'm never sure about what's going to go on here, other than my intent is to bring love to all that come through this channel, the Love Channel. And what comes to mind really initially is, first of all, this might be an opportunity for people that haven't been able to listen to this show before now, to have an opportunity to call in and say hi to me, or to call in with their questions or their requests or their issues that they want to resolve, because there will be one-on-one sessions for this, I believe. This one's going to be just for an hour, not for the hour and a half. And the call-in number here is 646-595-3440. And again, that's 646-595-3440. Or you can come in the chat room and just hang out there and bring your love and share your love. So anyhow, the feelings that come through me tonight, because I really feel like I'm in a good place personally, that I really feel that Romeo and Juliet connection within my own being. And I heard that song a while ago on one of the Sirius radio stations that I listened to. And I thought, wow, that's a really cool song, because all of us on some level born with that reality in mind, that we're going to really meet the spouse, the partner, the lover, the friend, that will become all of the above at some point in our lives. And most of the time what we do is we work our whole lives to get to that point. And then when you become spiritual, and again, we're all spiritual, but when you become conscious and you realize that the only way to get to that state of the romantic relationship, the perfect honeymoon relationship that lasts a lifetime, is to do it within, to really feel the space within yourself, to allow yourself to love and be loved within. And, of course, the other side of that song, Romeo and Juliet, is a tragedy of of finding a love and then losing it. And I can relate to that really big time because I really feel that that's happened in my own life, meeting the aspect of the self that is completely the reflection of your heart, and then having to lose that body either to a circumstance that doesn't permit it to be one with you, or because it was ill and it got sick and had to die, or it was in another relationship and had to move into that space and stay there. Whatever reason, in this earthly condition, it seems that that's what the relationships are about, that they're about meeting another body, and then on some space-time reality that you lose that body. And again, usually in the mindset of the illusion of this world to death, we lose it to death, when in reality we can never lose our heart's completion. And I want to air that loud and clear for the listeners tonight, that once we connect with the real heart, and that's the sacred union within, that could never be lost, and that could never be forgotten, nor could it be without you. And a lot of people talk about the twin soul. I do a lot of counseling with people that are talking about that, and aspects of me that are trying to recenter themselves in the remembrance that that is already who they are within, and that when they really reach that complete state, that they have the option to give birth to that aspect outside themselves. And some may call it a male, and some may call it a female, and others may call it, you know, a piece of art, a work of art that needs to be manifested through them to make concrete the union that they've met within themselves. And so with that in mind, a lot of my time and my path has been about staying in that sacred pureness of being. You know, once you meet it, and once it ignites in you, the kundalini, because I really believe, and I read this recently, which I thought was really cool, that for most people, the natural state of kundalini occurs in their 40s, in their early 40s, and they can't even help it. But it's a part of the evolution of consciousness. And when that 40s is hit, in reality, it triggers this. And a lot of people go mad. They lose their minds because they don't understand, especially if they're in the 3D and they're not in the clear consciousness of knowing that that's what that's going on, you know, in them, the bliss is being born through them, and that the eternal union, the sacred union, is in fact being born through them, and they reject it, and they become sick. You know, some say, oh, it's midlife crisis, I'm going through the changes, or I'm going through hot flashes, or I'm going through whatever. And what in fact is happening is that there's a kundalini, which happened to me when I was 41, 42, and that supposedly in time is also a transitional period because of the numbers involved. And it's another cycle of being. 42 for me was a 2-year, and 2 years supposed to be about dramatic change. Actually, it was an 11, which, you know, turns out to be higher conscious, but all the shift that happened within me was born. And it was born in a way where I came to realize that the female within her complete state of receptivity. And then for 20 years beyond that, I'd say less than 20, about 16 years beyond that in time, I met a part of myself after letting go of the past. It was a 9 relationship I was in, and completely filling every void and releasing every block and clearing everything that might be in the way of me being completely receptive to receiving the male had occurred, and that relationship ended and another one entered. And the entering was the male in his completion, merging with the female in her complete state of receptivity. And that to me was the sacred union. And, you know, I am blessed beyond measure because it's done, that my union has been consummated, and that I am living that state within my own being. And because of that, I really feel for the first time in my life a state of security that I had never even imagined. And you know, it's interesting because when you get to this point, at least from my perspective, and anything that I share here is out loud for me, and I'm sharing it so I can hear it and kind of substantiate it in my own being. But what happens is when you get to that state, again, from my perspective, the relative mind called Ananda of love, that you get temptation and that you have aspects of the self showing up like they would for, let's say, and this sounds really gross, but that's what comes to mind, you know, a dog in heat. You know, when a dog is in heat, when she has her period or she has her cycle of the opportunity to reproduce, the male dogs show up. And that basically what happens when you become the true state of the female, the sleeping beauty is awakened by the prince, which happened to me. And then, you know, he's back at war, so to speak. He goes back into the world to conquer the world. And then, you know, all his, you know, what was it, a comrade, you know, tried to court his princess. And in that process, she is so focused and she is so destined in her mind to reunite with the male that she can't even see another. You know, she can't see another. She's so blinded by the love. And, you know, for me, symbolically, 7 months ago, giving up my glasses that I put on in place of the true vision that I have, and started to see the world a lot different with those glasses, wearing them constantly. And oddly enough, the man that is the prince, that, you know, those glasses look beautiful on you. And after that, I kept them on. And then when I was guided to take them off, it was really hard because, you know, I stood alone in my nakedness, looking through eyes that the moment had been completely blurred by the world. And now I'm in complete clear vision, and that I'm allowing the spirit I am, the Holy One in me, to give me true vision. And doing it in total faith, you know, the absolute innocence that's required to be given that which desires to be given to the child of the Most High. You know, we need to become like little children, it says. And I relate very strongly that concept to the divine female. It's not, to me, it's not a controlled state of maternal doing, you know, giving energy, which we were taught was the female. For me, it really is the state of receptivity, and I really feel blessed to have been given that as a child. I mean, I was taught that a woman does take care of her home, take care of her body, take care of her children, but that in a way that is receptive, she's taking them in her arms. She's feeding her family in her space. You know, she's really feeding them her love rather than her food. So I was blessed. I wasn't forced to get a career. I wasn't forced to go out into the world and become anything. It was just natural for me to just dance my dance, which was sometimes art, sometimes music, sometimes theater, sometimes cooking, sometimes decorating. But I never lost sight of the fact that my babies were my interest. My lover, my husband at the time, was my interest. My parents were my friends were those that I brought in to give me the opportunity to love them. And so the female, divine female, the sacredness of the female is the receptive principle. And she just allows herself to bathe in the love of God. And as she does, she's taken care of. She's provided for. And all she knows is that love. And all she shares is that love. You know? And I've always been the center of attention and productivity in the groups that I've stayed in. I've always been the one that really brought everything back to the table for peace. You know, I would bring people back to make peace with their world, or to make peace with each other, or to make peace with themselves because they felt that they weren't in the right space, in the right love nature, in the right, you know, body, in the right beauty. And I was able to show people what I saw in them. I saw the beauty. And, you know, I reached a point, midpoint, you know, probably in my 40s when all this epiphany and this energy called the Kundalini came through me, that I all of a sudden gave birth to the opportunity, and I allowed it to happen to compliment. All my life before that, I was afraid to compliment people. I just didn't think it was absurd because I always saw this beauty in people. And I always saw their talents, and I wanted so much to tell them what I saw. But what I saw was so extreme in that it was so beautiful and so talented. I mean, even now I've told people, oh, you're a genius. So I'll say, oh, my God, that, and they say, I'm not a genius. And I'm saying, but that's what I see. I see what you can't see. You take for granted that you can do this art. You take for granted that you could, you know, dress so beautifully. You take for granted because you think that that's natural. And I came into my own understanding of that at maybe about, I'd say 5 years ago, when I all of a sudden realized that all my life I was so naturally talented, and I thought that everybody was. I thought that the concept and the love that was coming through me was just an ordinary state for people, and people would be alarmed by it or puzzled by it or upset by it. And I would say, oh, my God, you know, what did I do wrong? Did I say that wrong? But meanwhile, they didn't understand that I was bringing forth God. I was bringing forth the true acceptance of that aspect of the One. I was saying, I see your genius, I see your beauty, I want to be with you, I love being with you. Being with you is really everything for me. Look at that smile, look at that hair, look at that voice, look at that energy you wear, you know? And I wasn't able to do that earlier because I was afraid, but once I had that epiphany, which I will call again the Kundalini, I didn't realize it then, I had no idea what that was, but now looking back in retrospect and reading so much on it and experiencing so much since then, I realized that's what had occurred. I had a change in consciousness that affected every part of my being. And so going back to the concept of the Romeo and Juliet, you know, idea that we all come in with that. And I say all in the general sense because I don't know all, but I know that probably a large majority of my perceptual world has that as a goal. And I'm going to make money as a career, in a career, so that I can become established enough to be worthy of that boat, that house, that woman, or that male. You know, I'm gonna do special things to my body. I'm gonna redesign it. I'm going to dress a certain way. I'm gonna be a sweetheart. I'm gonna be kind. I'm gonna be a bitch. I'm gonna be whatever so that I can attract that male in my life or that position, that job, that you know, that whoever, you know. And really all we're trying to do, because we all find out at some point that all the fame and all the glory and all the whatever matters not, because eventually all of this world will not stay high. Eventually, like a roller coaster, it'll come up and down, up and down. And I remember in 12-step they used to talk about the hills and the valleys a lot. And that, you know, in the cyclical concept or in the linear world where there is you know, ups and downs in the four seasons and the different time zones, there is the up and the down. There is the bipolar mindset, which really is just not being able to stay present. You know, all bipolar, all these schizophrenic mental, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but again, I'm just talking to myself, so whoever's here listening, enjoy the ride. All the mental illnesses that I've been privy to, being blessed to have experienced the autistic child in, you know, a family member's, you know, mate, that this little girl had a little boy child who was autistic, and I was able to go with him where he was on the side of complete understanding that he could climb walls and he could be where he, free to be who he was and not have to live into a societal norm. And people tag that as a stigma, because I'm autistic, I don't fit in this world, so let's give me drugs or let me try to find a solution. And yet that's just an individual state that spirit is acknowledging as a reality for themselves, and who am I to judge it? But again, we want things to be a certain way. Or the bipolar person who has the peak experience that really reaches the heights beyond measure that we all do when we're present and we stay in the now, and then turns their head and they drop because they can't see the same thing when they turn their head. They can't stay in present moment. or the schizophrenic that has the ability to tap into different realities simultaneously, and we label them insane and we want to drug them, or the OCD, the person who is obsessed with pleasure or obsessed with that reality, you know, we tell them that there's something wrong instead of saying be present with the OCD, because you will see the heights, you will see the glory of heaven if you just stay present and focus on the beauty of the moment, you know. And so all these mindsets that we've come to experience as, you know, mental illness or regimented lifestyle to get ourselves to a point to become just like the others so that we can earn a relationship or earn a career or earn a status of some kind to keep us in a state of possibly reuniting with what we were taught we were supposed to as a child, that we're supposed to meet our mate. And again, whether that mate be a body or be a career or be an art form or be a whatever. It's all just a remembrance. It's just a trigger response to us reuniting with the state of wholeness within our own being. And it's reestablishing the male and the man and the female. The male aspect, which is the giver, and the female, which is the receptive principle. And again, as I always say on the show, the male is the giver of all. That's the God I am. He is the giver of all. He has the potential to give all. And then the female, which is the physical body called Ananda of love, or called whoever of love. And they are the aspect of the giver realized as the female. And he gives her, he fills her with all that she needs. And we can say the father and the son, which I use all the time. The father is the male. And the child is the female or the receptive principle. It's not about the actual biological mindset or the gender, male female, but it is the in and out breath, the receptive and the giving, the giver and the receiver, you know, or the. And again, I use that with electricity a lot, you know, that the cells are the receivers. We are absolutely satellite dishes. We are receptive mechanisms that are receiving that which we are allowing ourselves to tune in with. And we could say that God is the ultimate, you know, satellite. And we are the receivers, the little satellites, the mini satellites that are picking up and tuning in with that which resonates with us in whatever state that we're allowing ourselves to be. And since we are spirit, the spirit I am, it could be the spirit of bliss in the moment or the spirit of hostility or the spirit of whatever. And whatever we align with becomes our experience. And I talk a lot about I am is, and what I am is my experience. And then when I allow myself to be the female receptive principle, God is I am, is my experience. So I assume the state that God bestows upon me, the gift I am given, and I extend it outward. You know, it's not about outside in. In my perceptual reality, there's others that believe that others do affect them. And for me, the only thing that works is that I am reality as it is, whatever that reality is, will affect my world. It will, in fact, design my world to be exactly an outpicturing of what I assume as the I am. If I allow the God I am, the giver of all I am, to extend through me, I'm a clear channel. And that's when I become innocent like a child, because what do I know? And what do I know gives me a clean wineskin for the new wine to be poured into? If I assume the state of I do know, and I'm here to fix you, I'm here to counsel you, and after all, I've got it, you don't, and I'm the talented one, and you're not, and after all, he needs me, and she needs me, and that needs me, all I'm doing is playing in a space field where there is absolutely no clarity at all. Because I cannot fix anyone. I'm here to receive the full experience of the completeness of being loved by God. And so when I'm in that, which I shared earlier about my relationship coming to a completion within my own being and knowing that it is not about a certain attitude I have or a certain beauty I have or a certain talent I have. The only thing that's happening in sacred union is that I remember that I am the receptive principle and that God is the male. He is the giver. I am the receiver. And when I allow that to merge within my own being, my physical structure absolutely changes. Every cell in my being now is contingent upon God for its orders. It's awaiting its orders. Because I don't know, as the child I am, as the woman I am, as the female as I am, as the male body that I am, because it doesn't matter if we're in a male or female body, we're all receivers. We're all the receptive principle. And when I try to step in the way of that, there's got to be conflict. There's got to be issues. There has to be conflict because of the conflicting energy. It's not conjoining. It's a conflicting. It's an opposite. It's not about the full experience of allowing God. It's about the interference patterns that get placed in the way, and then the body hurts, and then the job fails, and then the relationship sucks, and then everything around me changes according to the dictates of me assuming that I know anything. So with that in mind, this is not going to be the full show. It's going to be another 30 minutes. So I want to go into a little bit of what I really want to talk about, which is Bruce Lipton, which to me is the closest I've met to the scientific understanding of what I've come to realize as the body called Ananda of Love, as the one that received the full knowledge that came through me for me. It's certainly not a higher level for anyone outside of me, but it's for me what I've come to realize and live in peace, knowing that now science is validating what I've come to understand, that I've altered my physical in so many ways. Because I came back to present moment and allowed the God I am to bestow upon me the healing I needed. And the healing is only the recapitulation and remembrance that God and I are one. Or the financial, you know, alteration, let's say, that what I didn't have, I already did have, is always there. Or the relationship that I thought I needed the body to agree with me in order to be happy with that body within myself. Or the world to agree with me. I don't have any time for pettiness. I don't have any time for conflict. If you don't agree with me, so be it. If the aspects of me in my world don't agree with me, so be it. Go on your way. Because the truth is, I'm coming in a state of remembrance that God is I am. And I have absolutely no more patience with the opposite of love. I did not come here to prove myself. I don't come here to perfect anything for anyone else. I come here as a state of remembrance that love is the only healer. And for me, God / love, the giver of all is the lover of all, is all there is. So science tells me through this concept that I named Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, The Honeymoon Effect is the last book, which is, you know, it's just absolutely easy, basic, gorgeous, fabulous. And it's basically saying, which I've been teaching for years, that, you know, you come together with another body, or you come together with another job, or you come together with a career, or you come together with a friend. And when you first come together, it seems so right. And you come together and you make love and you make friendship and you make design and you make work. And all of a sudden, the memory of what was comes into play, and now you are either struggling in that job, writer's block in that, or the creator's block in that design, not happy in that relationship because it's not really what you thought it would be, whatever. And as soon as you start remembering what you were taught to remember, the unworthiness, the ugliness, the fear-based concept, that I have to perform in order to receive love. The conditional state of being loved and loving. As soon as that starts happening, the honeymoon is over, he says. So his book, in this particular book, he has a three book, which is a trilogy, and the first one is the biology of beliefs, which is really about the belief system as a structure, and then the spontaneous evolution of consciousness, which is really how all are one and waking up to the reality that consciousness gives you an opportunity to choose again and to realize that what is presently here in the moment is if it's not good, it's not about the moment. It's about something that you brought into the moment, not knowing you did. And that could be a person, place, or thing, because everything is just a representative of what you feel and what you allow to come through you. So, and then the third book is The Honeymoon Effect, which he's basically saying he's in a relationship for 13 years with a woman. And they worked hard on understanding that they came together as two aspects of the one in love, and that they were persistently and consistently focusing on love, and that when they saw themselves going in different directions because of what Bruce especially came to realize in his study of biology, and you know, the biology of belief is that when you take that unhealthy cell in the petri dish and you put it in a healthy environment in another healed celled petri dish, that unhealthy cell immediately becomes healthy. And I remember my mom saying as a kid, you know, you are the company you keep. But in fact, the company that you keep are what you are. And it's up to you to decide what you would like to take residence in your being as far as thoughts and as far as feelings. I mean, when we understand, when I came to realize that my thoughts and my feelings are actually keeping me in a state, and whether that be a state of sickness, a state of wellness, a state of health, prosperity, beauty, it was all up to me. And every time that I thought a thought and fueled it with the feelings that represent that thought, that I was actually empowering that belief system enough that it may be made manifest in my world, and my entire tapestry called my world has changed when I change the thought and the feeling that represents it. And, of course, a lot of this is consistent, so we don't realize we're at work, we're stressed out. Oh, my God, whatever, I got a ton of them in here. Or that relationship, I can only see them on Tuesdays. Oh, my God, I got to work really hard to make sure. And when we get into that mindset, all of these programs related to that unbelief or belief system that we have to learn how to unbelieve, but that belief system and that program actually builds upon itself, so we're lost in space, and now it's like in the Matrix movie where they plug in the back of the neck. That plug. They're plugging in that belief system, that program, that show, that stage play. And as soon as that's plugged into the back of my being, into my mind, because it's all from the back, it's all from the past in the mindset of linear time, it's really happening simultaneously, and we can actually go into any reality we want. But there's some that we have a predisposed condition to. So when I get, let's say I'm a very insecure lineage. My lineage comes in very insecure females, let's say. And I'm in a relationship. And this man is working and he's got a business. And maybe he can only see me twice a week. But I feel that if he doesn't see me every day, that I in fact am not good enough. So the more that I focus on him not seeing me, the more, first of all, he won't see me, and then second of all, the more that I'll be lost in that program of insecurity, and everything around me will become insecure. So I won't be able to hold on to anything, because I'll be so afraid that I'm going to lose it, that I will just be actually frozen in the state of insecurity. So for me, and I use this a lot, the concept of being present is really sitting in the director's chair, as the director, knowing basically what you want to see on that stage or on that movie, you want to call it a movie, and you're sitting in that stage and you know that it's already written because you've been dreaming about it forever. You know you want that perfect relationship. You know that Jaguar is just calling you by name. You know that that entire vista is absolutely staging itself perfectly for you. So you sit in that director's chair and you do not lose sight of the fact that it's you that needs to plug in that show. It's you that has to put the plug in that that outlet for that TV show to come on that's going to tell you exactly what you want to see. You've been waiting for weeks to see that miniseries because you know it's just about to end and it's going to be the absolute desired outcome that you've been dreaming about. And when you do that, you're there. And you can just sit in that chair in all your glory and know that without a shadow of a doubt, everything around you is absolutely preparing itself to give you your feast. As soon as you allow yourself to get off that chair and go in any direction at all, now you're taking the plug out. You immediately take the plug out when you leave the present moment. And when you take the plug out, there, and I used to always share this in class, and this really is a powerful metaphor for me. When I was younger, I used to work in Columbia Prep School, which is in Manhattan. I used to do that part-time, and it was a preparatory school for very rich kids, and I used to do the switchboard. And the switchboard was like, you know, you'd see in Saturday Night Live, and, you know, when Lily Tomlin used to do that, and you used to plug it in, you know, welcome to Columbia Prep School, how can I help you? And you'd be doing that, but like every 2 seconds, because you get another call in. Hello, welcome to you, and you keep doing it and doing it, pulling in and plugging in. Oh, yes, you want to talk to him? And you plug it into that station, you take it out from that connection, and you keep, I mean, there's hundreds of plugs, and you got 100 lines, and maybe in that 10 minutes, you've connected 50 people to different people. And that's exactly what happens when you leave the director's chair. You go into the field of infinite connection. And as soon as you go there, you have the ability to change that reality and go into that one. But as soon as you leave your director's chair, you're settling. Because you're going into a field of potential that really isn't congruent with your present moment. And so you're going really in time space, and someone's coming to you and say, oh, well, hi, how are you? Can you do me a favor? As soon as you go in that direction, now you're absolutely plugging into that aspect of you called that scenario, that woman who needs help. And I mean this. So every time you step off your director's chair, which to me would be the present moment, and you turn in any direction, you're susceptible to whatever that direction has to offer you, or to give you, or to take from you, because when in reality what's happening, as soon as you turn around, it's like all of a sudden your release valve, the air is out of you, coming out of you, and you start breathing out. So much so that eventually you start getting stressed out because you're really not breathing congruently. You're not doing the in-breath, female-male, in-breath, out-breath equally, because in the present moment, the only place you can really stay balanced. So you turn in that direction, and you're starting to get upset because you know what? You're waiting for your show to come on, and this aspect of you is saying, but wait a minute, I need something. Could you please come in the room? Please come here. This kid, you know, I don't know what's going on, but this child is so unruly. Could you please do something with him? Or, hi, honey. How are you? It's really good. You. Oh, really? How are you? You know what? I've got something really nice to show you. Can you come with me? It doesn't matter, special love, special hate. As soon as you distract from present moment, you're going to A Course in Miracles of special love. Okay, I'll do something special for you. I'll compromise because I love you. Or special hate is, why do I have to do this? Oh, come on. This is taking away my peace. They're both a distraction. They're an interference pattern. But when you stay present moment and you're in your experience and you're watching your program or you're conducting your orchestra or you're painting your painting, it doesn't matter what we call it, but it's you staying in your integrity, which is your true state of being. For me, it's completely innocent, allowing God to become me and throw out through me on the scrim, that which he desires me to see people, places, and things, and dance with people, places, and things. But if I stay, oh, like my son, Anthony, who is totally about creation, I'm doing this, I'm building that, and I'm over there, and I'm teaching that, and I'm with them, and I'm paying it forward here, and I'm going to do that there. And you know what? Because everything he's doing is under his directorship. And whether he's working at a job, opening a restaurant, with a relationship, He knows that he's the one that has to stay focused on what he feels is right for him in order to see the outcome the way he desires it to be. And that is him assuming God. He's assuming the state of God, and he's staying present with it. So when I'm staying present in the body, in the channel, in the receptive principle I am, and staying to and allowing the creator of all, the master creator of all, to bring forth an idea through me, and then allow me to assume it in direction and focus, I can't go wrong. Because I'm staying true to that which I believe desires to be born through me. Creation is what this entire earth experience is about. Because there's nothing here that was not once an idea. All births, seeds, children of the Most High. So my son says, well, you know what, God, I'm going to assume you know it all. You plant the seed in me. And that I will let it grow in me and give birth to it, and then I will take care of the children for you because I know that you're the one that's directing me to do what I'm doing. And then for me, I sit and I say, God, bring it forth through me. And that which appears is always divine aspects of me, and who's the artist, and who's the millionaire, and who's the beauty, and who's the whatever. And they're no less me than I am. Everything in my perceptual world is coupled with me to show me exactly where I am in every moment. The concept that I call metaphorical awareness that I came to realize in meditation one day, and I shared it with the person I was with, is so divinely beautiful. I mean, the Buddhist concept basically says everything's a mirror. In the book that I've been skimming through, which is really a beautiful, beautiful concept, and I'm going to just go into this for a second, years ago, when I had A Course in Miracles for many years, and all of a sudden the concept Ho'oponopono came into my field of being, and it was about a concept that was brought through the Huna, the Hawaiian concept, the religion, by a Dr. Lu Len or something like that. And what he did was he basically knew that he was the cause of everything in his world, that everything in his perceptual reality was caused by an error in his own thinking, and that goes right to the Bible verse of, you know, basically that, you know, missing the mark. We're an error, and that's why we're sinners. Not that we're dirty, lowly worms, but we are missing the mark. And Jesus says, you can be as much as me, if not more. So in the Huna tradition, they believe that when you someone's sick or someone has an issue, that you forgive yourself for forgetting who that aspect of you was. And he came to, he was a therapist, and he worked in a hospital for criminally insane, and all he did when he was there was look through he never looked at the patients. He only looked through their folders, their, you know, their personal history of what was going on with them, and their logs, and whatever he had to gather on each person, and their files, and he'd say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you. I mean, I missed the mark. I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you. And he'd keep repeating that, and eventually the hospital closed, and they were all released. And he taught this for many years. So it came into my reality, and I said, oh, my God, this is the first thing that I can say that substantiates my Course in Miracles, that I understand, because I was an intuitive when I was opening to A Course in Miracles. I was healing people all the time, removing blocks all the time. We saw parents to me, that's all they had to do was remember that aspect of themselves and let that other part go, the error in their thinking. And so this doctor now was all over everything. He was all over the internet, and I was joining groups and whatever. And it's helped me so much, so much with my students and even my own life. I mean, I was saying I was sorry repeatedly for things that another person would say, I didn't do that. But, you know, I have to take full reason. If I think and I know that I am, is my experience, or God is, I am, is my experience, I take full responsibility for everything that occurs. And there's people that are in my life that, you know, basically I have to let go of because they don't want to accept that. They say that they are a part of everybody else's world, and that's fine. But I can't change anything unless I know that God is in charge, or that I am the receptive principle, and I am willing to become the I am in body, to embody the God I am, to assume the state of peace because I didn't get the real connection with God tonight. And I don't really know what he wants to come forth. So I'm going to stay in love. Because love to me and peace to me and joy to me is the closest connection that I can make with the source of all being. So anyway, so that whole concept was divine. And to me, it was such a validation. And then Bruce Lipton comes in. I'm like, oh, my God, everything. You know, I could have wrote every one of these books because I have been teaching all that he shares. And the science aspect of me, which is, okay, I've been a logical person most of my early life and time. And I always thought, you know, I got to have logic to this. And I couldn't. People were saying, oh, my God, you're so abstract, Ananda. Why don't you just understand? Let me explain it to you. And the truth of the matter was, I needed to understand. There was nobody outside of me that needed to understand. It was coming through me in such a cryptic way that I wasn't even getting it, but I was sharing it. So then the science comes. And then, all of a sudden, and I knew of this for a very long time, but about 2 weeks ago, something says, connect with Byron Katie, who is a Sagittarius like me, which really turned me on, because I think Sagittarian people, in my perceptual reality, are mind-boggling. I mean, they're all about higher learning. The arrow about always striving for the higher understanding. They're mystical. They're very, very intelligent. And they're very, very philosophical, you know. So I really dig that. And this woman, if you look at her, I don't know how old she is. She grows more beautiful with every year. She is so gorgeous, physically beautiful, and her energy is so divine that it can't be missed. You can't miss where she's at. She's absolutely there. Anyway, so I knew about her for years, but it never really turned me on. I thought, well, wow, well, big deal. And she does a concept called The Work. So I was really working on myself on a very deep level the last couple of weeks, so much so that, you know, you think you got everything figured out, and you think that God is, I am, but you still got the pangs and the soul plexus issues. Oh, my God, I want to stay in the present moment. What if I can't? God, that hurts. My back, my stomach. And all of a sudden, Byron Katie came up. I got her in one of my YouTube suggestions on one of my sites, and I started listening to her. And she was blowing me away. She's like, Course in Miracles. She is doing Course in Miracles in the simplest way, even better and easier than Dr. Yulin in Ho'oponopono. And basically, she just asked 4 questions. It says, loving what is. And so I'm in the bookstore that I frequent, and there's a lot of books that I've done there, a lot of counseling, a lot of classes over the years. And a guy that I know, that I haven't seen for a long time, comes in, and he says, I was hoping to see you here because I really wanted to talk, and we talked a little bit. And he's a very good guy, very sweet spiritual guy, Buddhist. And anyway, so we were sitting with somebody else, and she got up because she felt he wanted to talk to me. And then before he left, I said, you know, I want you to connect with Byron Katie. You know, he used to come to my classes, and I say, you know, I really think that you'll get a lot from her. He said, that's weird, because I have 2 of her books, Loving What Is, in my car right now. And I said, come on. He said, I want to give you one. And he went out and got the, I didn't read it yet, but, you know, you don't have to. I think I've seen every one of her YouTubes in the last 2 weeks. And I tell you, if you haven't checked her out, she calls herself Katie, Byron Katie. Is what you look up, you know, and she does the work with people. And she basically does what I do, what I've been doing for years. But it's so easy because it's such a practical approach. And she says here in this one little section, everyone is a mirror image of yourself, your own thinking coming back at you. And that's my metaphoric awareness concept. When I woke up one day and I realized that everything in my perceptual world was talking to me, that everything was showing me what I believe. It was mind-boggling. I really felt, for the first time, childlike. But I was so excited by the fact that my world was going to mirror for me my thoughts and my feelings that are unbeknownst to me, because, after all, I can't see like an eagle. I can't see everything and turn my head around. So in the present moment, you're being shown everything, your past, your present, and future in linear time. Of course, again, it's not the way it is. It really is happening simultaneously. But when you know that, when you really become conscious of the fact that it's happening simultaneously, oh, my God, you can choose again. And that choosing again from A Course in Miracles is the most profound concept, because it really does give you the choice and the opportunity to choose love instead of fear, to choose love instead of pain, to choose love instead of judgment. Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. He was really casual about that. You understand that when you judge another, you're just judging yourself. You're seeing in that person an aspect of you that you don't want to look at. So you're running from them. And to point outward is to actually give your breath away. That's when you become deficient. Eventually you start losing breath. The more that I point at you, I make you my God. You now become the director sitting in the chair, and then I become the receptive principle, not to God, but to you. And you tell me how to feel, and you tell me how to act, and you tell me how to perform. And how does that happen? Because I reacted to you. I reenacted something that you pointed out in me, which was me looking at me from a distance, telling me what I'm afraid of, and I react. So I reenact that over and over and over until you become my God. And that could be lover, that could be boss, that could be money, that could be body issues, that could be anything. As soon as I point to you, I am saying, let's do this again. Let's reenact that again, because it really hit home. And the more that I look at you for the answer, you for the response, you for the reaction, the more I'm completely at a present moment, and I'm going to be breathless within minutes. When I become breathless, I die. I actually die to what was, and I go back to what is, and I go back to what was. What was infinitum, because what was is always in the field, and I can go to any aspect of what was and reenact it and live it out as if it's present moment, and I die to the present moment. I live and I die with an instant. If I stay present and stay in the field and the integrity and the knowing that all that I am is being shown to me, I show up as a princess, a queen, a king, a prince, and I'm sitting in my throne, and my audience is showing me, for me, what I need to see. It's performing for me. And I say, thank you. Thank you, my child. Thank you for showing me what I could not see in myself. Or I could say, why did you say that? Why did you do that? As soon as I point outward, I'm gone. Even if I'm pointing outward at something, that thing will take my peace away. That thing will take my attention away from present moment. They're all interference patterns showing you what you can't see within yourself. So if you were to just sit in the chair, as Costa would say, and just let the universe provide to you at your feet everything you've ever dreamed of, and know that what you're being given is what you've asked to receive. And you can have a checklist and say, that's not right. Okay, I'm done with that. Okay, thank you. All right, I'm not done with that yet. Could you bring me more of that? I love the way that feels. Oh, my God, that looks beautiful. Oh, I love that shade of pink. Thank you so much. Oh, my heart's warmed by that color. Thank you so much. Yeah, but what about this? Did you forget about that screechy sound that you hate? Oh, thank you. Thank you, my brother. That's so beautiful that you remember. You remembered to give me that which I asked you to give me. What an angel. So what will happen in that state? When you stay true to yourself, true to the director that you are, you're directing everything 24/7. And the only way to truly actualize that in reality is to know that. When you start watching the fruits of your labor, when you start staying present and saying, oh my God, she's right. I just thought about that. There it is. And that's why the synchronistic concept, which I say constantly, is not about coincidence. Oh, isn't that a miracle that showed up? No. It's just showing you what you were thinking. And you didn't realize that you have the power to bring forth that which you believe in and think of. When, in fact, that's all that's occurring. You're only seeing what you believe that you'll see.
And so with that in mind, what would I want to do as the king of my reality, as the master of my universe? Would I want to argue with petty detail? Would I want to argue with someone who's talking about pain and suffering or sickness and death? Or would I say, oh, thank you so much. I did not, to myself, did not realize that was still a part of my thought process. Thank you. I love you. Have a great day. Oh, but you know what? Look at the color of that yellow. So bright and beautiful. Look at the sky. I had to hang up for my son yesterday because I'm driving. And the Florida sky, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. In my reality, I'm making skies that you can't believe. I couldn't capture it. I come back online last night. One of the girls in my Zumba class captured it. It was on her Facebook. The same sky that I had trouble capturing because there was too many cars in the way when I was trying to take it with my cell phone. But I couldn't not see it because it was for me. And so I gave it to someone else, which I'll call someone else, an aspect of me that was in the same state of being as I was looking at that sky. Were we together? No. She was in a car. I didn't even know she was going. She didn't know I had a sky. I didn't know she was in Florida. It didn't matter. It was me showing me what I couldn't see, but I didn't resist it and I didn't judge it. I just said, oh, my God, this sky is magnificent. Anthony, I have to hang up. I can't talk anymore. I have to be with this sun right now. It's in integrity for me. It feels like the right thing for me right now. Anyway, we have like 3.5 minutes, and we didn't have any callers, and I can imagine there was no, you know, there was no really space between the last show that didn't happen and this show. But this is going to be a great archive, and anybody that's listening, you know, please share it, because I really love what came forth. And going back to love, the sacred love, knowing that and walking in such confidence. It's like, you know, I remember the movie Bridges Over Madison County, and I'm going to use that essence from what I want to share right now. When she met that photographer, and that was her perceptual reality, she was a dreamer. And she would dance to the music and feel sexy, and her husband was the worker, and the kids were, excuse me, all a part of the mundane mindset of what was. And not good or bad, that's just the way it was. And all of a sudden, she's dancing with the music in their way, and this lover shows up. And that lover is her dream realized. It's her truth. And she has the opportunity to bathe and make love with the aspect of herself that she always dreamed would be realized. And for the rest of her life, she was dedicated to her life as it was, knowing she already met her completion. And I want to end the show with that tonight, because I really feel that I am the most blessed aspect of the one, because I know that I have met my completion. And I know that I can never want again, because I have it all. And so I'm obedient and I'm receptive to the God I am. He right now is my way. He is the way. It is the way. Love is the way. And so before we end tonight, I want to just, again, encourage everyone who's listening, who will listen on archive, who will email me at anandaoflove@aol.com, or visit me at mindmending.net, that you are, in fact, the master of your universe. Don't be pulled into the illusion of suffering. Stay firm. Stay present. Stay loved. You direct the universe to bring forth through you, at you, exactly what you feel about yourself. Stay in love. When you stay in love, your physical chemistry changes. The dynamics of your being changes. Your cells are rejuvenated. They are ageless. Dance through your day knowing that you are, in fact, the master of everything you see. And it's up to you whether you want to keep that position or become a player on someone else's stage, a player in someone else's reality. The world will give you everything you ask it to. Be certain that it will. Know that is your experience. Allow yourself to receive what you've always desired to receive.
And don't play games with the littleness of being around you. Honor it, bless it, and move on. In consciousness, come back in the moment. Keep coming back. I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I feel blessed to have had this experience speaking out loud for me. Good night.